my way, my life. It's not about me. You know, when we're little children, it's all about us. Oh, ah. Little kids are gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. The minute their eyes are open, they start crying. Feed me, feed me. Give me that bottle. But then, you know, as we grow, we're supposed to let go of those childish ways. You know, we're supposed to mature and grow. And I think that that's one of the problems in our society is we stay immature. We stay in that place of give me, give me, give me, I want, I want, I want. We're seeing that portrayed nationally in our nation with the socialist agenda. Give me, give me, give me, I want. Don't expect anything from me. Oh, oh. But just give me, that entitlement philosophy, huh? And that's pervasive. That's an immature mindset. That's the mindset of a little child. Give me, give me, give me, I want, I want. Well, that philosophy is allowing itself to grow like a snowball coming down a mountain. Oh, because as a nation, we are too self-focused, too selfish, too materialistic, too immature. And so if we weren't like that as a nation, as a people, and as individuals, we would hear that and we would just discount it immediately and say, that is ridiculous. That I don't have to go to work and I can get paid. I have the right to all these things even though I don't earn them. We would say that's so completely ridiculous. But because as a nation, we have been indoctrinated with this, it's all about me philosophy. It's all about me. It's all about me, my wants, my way of doing things. And it's not about Jesus. It's not about his will. It's not about God. And because we become more and more and more godless, we are a people that worships. We were made to worship. So what do we end up doing? We put a false god on the throne because we were made to worship. And we're going to worship something. And what that false god is the god of self. The god of self. That's not the gospel that Jesus came to preach at all. He said, unless you die to yourself, you can't even have a part of my kingdom. The grain of wheat has to fall into the ground and die if it's to produce more wheat. Jesus came to teach us how we're supposed to live, and we're supposed to live selfless. Huh? Less of me and more of you. Selflessly, not selfishly. You see? And so if you read the gospel from beginning to end, that's what Jesus was talking about all the time. Give to others. Bless others. Help others. Here I came. I'm going to read you a scripture. Oh, there it is. I'm going to read you a scripture. Ooh, that states this. I've got scriptures for all of us to take home with us. Because it's in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, because there's so many scriptures on about serving, being a servant, that I typed some out for you so you can meditate on them and take one a day maybe and meditate on it and really think about it. Because this is, we've been so indoctrinated with self being a god. Well, what do I want? What about me? Huh? In this nation that we're living here, it gets on us. It just gets on us. And we can't be pleasing to God if we're worshiping ourselves and we're seeking after what we want, what's going to give us pleasure, what's going to cause us to be happy. What about me? What about me? What about me? Okay? And if we need to meditate on this word so we become less selfish and more God conscious. Okay? Selfless. And this is what Jesus speaks through scripture. It's in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves. This is from Paul writing this. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking for Jesus, okay? Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man, this is what Jesus was saying, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see? Jesus didn't come to be served. He could have. He had the right to, because he really was a king. He was God, God incarnate, the Son of God. He could have come on a chariot, a fire, like that came down and picked up Elijah. He could have come in a chariot of fire. He could have come in regal attire. Why didn't he? Because he wanted us to get the mindset that we're servants. We're servants of his. We're servants of the Most High God. If we serve the Most High God, then we're going to serve one another. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. We can't show God we love him if we don't love our brother and sister. He says, if you say you love me, who you can't see, but you are unkind and mean and nasty and ignoring your brother who you do see, his needs, then how can the love of God be in you? That's in John, paraphrased by me. Do you see? He's calling us in this hour to follow him in this way because we are part of that pendulum swing. All right? I'm seeing a pendulum, and the pendulum has swung way over to self, to greed, to selfishness, to the point where we're like, where's our country going? Maris and I were praying this morning, and she's like, if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, we're going to go into it, be a socialist nation. I mean, you could see this is where the enemy's trying to bring us. But God's saying, I need you guys. I need a remnant who will get on board with me and swing this thing the other way. That we worship the true God, the living God. We worship him. We don't worship ourselves. We lay our lives down for the sake of the gospel. We embrace a servant heart. Oh! Doing good to others. Being kind to others. Why? Because we love God. Not for anything we can get back in return. I had a dream last night, and it's a short dream. I'm going to share it with you because it's just God confirming this word. In this dream, Jack and I stopped by to visit somebody, a family member, and they were having a big dinner party, and they hadn't invited us to it. So I felt uncomfortable going, you know, and they're like, oh, you can stay and have this plenty of food, stay for dinner. So I didn't want to, but I did. Because I felt uncomfortable. And as dinner progressed, there was rice, big bowls of rice for the people to eat. And people were sitting there. They were not able to get up. There were a lot of elderly people. And they weren't able to get up and get the rice for themselves. So I began getting rice and bowls and passing out rice to all these people at this dinner party that I had crashed. I'm giving them rice. And they're thanking me and taking the rice, and I go over to get my dish, which I had prepared, but put it down and was giving everybody else their rice, and my dish was gone. And somebody had taken my food. Now I had nothing. That was the end of the dream. I'm like, what's this mean? I knew the serving, you see? And so it was teaching you a little bit about a dream interpretation. This dream was symbolic because I wasn't going to somebody's house for dinner, and this was not a true thing happening in my life. So that means it was a symbolic dream. So when you have a symbolic dream where everything in the dream is to be interpreted symbol, you've got to find out what the symbol means. So I asked God, what does this mean? And he told me, in the dream, I wasn't me. I was Jesus. I represent Jesus. Now, does the whole dream have a whole different meaning when you realize that this is Jesus, not invited to come and be a part of the things going on in our lives, the family? Now, what's the family? The bride of Christ. Not invited in the church. Not being allowed in the church to move the way he wants to do what he wants to do. Just, you can come in if you want to. Oh, you can join us. But don't tell us what to do. See? And then Jesus, in the dream, went around and began feeding everybody. And then he was left with nothing. And that's how Jesus is treated. He was showing me, I'm the servant of all. He said, he serves even though people are ungrateful and even take from him his life. He still serves. He says, you do the same. You be like me. Even when you're not welcomed because you're my follower and you're not given a prestigious invitation. How many times do we try to share the gospel with people that really don't want to hear it? Our family members, huh? That don't really, huh? This is what this dream represents. You still go. Jesus wasn't welcome in that dream. He wasn't invited, but he stayed, embarrassing as it was, you see? And so we have to go because we're following Jesus and we're servants and we got to kill this flesh because that's a killing of the flesh to go where you are really not welcome with the gospel, with the word of God, with prayer, whatever it is. To kill this flesh because you feel like you're not accepted and still go and serve. Still go and bring the word. Bring the love of God. Bring his goodness. Bring him wherever you go. Just bring him. How many know that this is God saying, this is what I need you to do in this hour, guys? These people are starving for the truth. These people were starving in this dream. They were like sitting there, please give me something. They're starving for the truth. And even though we might feel that we're not 100% accepted, we're not really wanted, we need to go and bring the truth. Because Jesus wants to bring them the truth. And we're Jesus' mouth, his mouthpiece, his hands, his feet. We're the body of Christ. He needs us to go and bring his love, bring his comfort, bring his care to those that are hurting. Even if we're not appreciated. Even if we get nothing in return. Even what's rightfully should be ours, we don't get it. You see? Even if we don't get the respect and the appreciation and the honor that we really should get, we need to continue to do that. Why? Because we follow a crucified Savior who is the servant of all. He says in the scripture, the greatest of all, the greatest of all is the servant of all. And when that scripture came to pass, when he spoke that, he was at the Last Supper with his disciples. Now, he had spent 3 years training these guys. In what? Being servants. There was a time when he took a little child in front of them. Unless you become like this little child, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Get rid of this mindset of pride. Get rid of it. Become like a little child. He taught them. He practiced it in front of them. They saw him serving. They saw him feeding the multitudes 2 times. They watched this man. And here they are 3 years later at the Last Supper arguing about who's the greatest. This is what was happening in Luke chapter 22. You can read this. They're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. I'm like, what is wrong with these guys when I'm meditating on this? Didn't they listen? Didn't they observe anything? That's a picture of the body of Christ now. The Lord spoke to me. He said, this is what's wrong with the church, why there's no power in the church. Because the hierarchy in the church wants to be served without serving. Just receive, receive, receive without giving, without having a servant heart. So there's no power in the church. No different back then after they were with him for 3 years than it is now. People are prideful. Oh, we let our flesh get a hold of us and it's all about me. Life is all about me. What satisfies me, what makes me comfortable, what makes me happy, what I want. And it's not about him. It really isn't about him. We've got to get to the place where we kill this flesh. Kill this flesh. And just begin living for him. It's all about you. It's all about, not my will. What did Jesus say? A few hours, just a little while later, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Not what I want. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to get nailed to the cross. I don't want to be beaten within an inch of my life. I don't want a crown of thorns put on my head. But not my will, thy will be done. I don't want to die for mankind. I don't want to lay down a sacrifice and many are going to just shun me and mock me and ridicule me and never accept me. I don't want to do it. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he says to us, follow me. Follow me. Be like me. Kill your flesh. Don't do what the flesh wants. Take the flesh off the throne and do what I want. Follow me. Follow my Holy Spirit. And love who? Everyone. Not just those that are deserving of it. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love. Follow my example of selfless love. Jesus was selfless. Completely selfless. So here's the disciples arguing. I'm the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, I'm the... They're all arguing about who's the greatest. Of course, they all thought they were the greatest. And Jesus said to them, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Over and over, he said it to them. You're going to be like me. But can you imagine how disheartened he must have felt? They needed the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Without the Holy Spirit, we're all pretty selfish. We're a flesh bag. Is that true? Just think about in our interpersonal relationships. You know, we can think about the world, but let's think about me and in my relationships. Huh? Am I selfless with the people around me? Or do I only do what I feel like doing? Oh! What's going to get me something in return? Or do I do what's best for the other person, irregardless of the sacrifice it is for me? What's best? What's best for Pastor Jack? Do I do what's best for Pastor Jack, or do I do what's best for me? Or do I only do what's best for him for what I'm going to get in return? We got to examine our conscience. Say, Jesus, am I really following you? Am I really living a life of sacrifice? Because following Jesus, he says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. We're supposed to be crucified with Christ. What are we crucifying? The I want, the me, the my will, not your will, God. We're going to crucify ourselves. Put down our flesh. Put down that thing that wants what's best for me. And do what he tells us to do. He's always going to tell us to love. He's always going to tell us to bless. He's always going to tell us to give. There's times there can be people in our lives that he might tell us to hold back because they have an issue and we'll only be enabling them. So we have to know the Holy Spirit, because there's times that he does say, no, 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 don't touch it. Leave it with me. You pray for them. Don't judge them. Pray for them, but step away from it. You see? Just do what I have. Because we need the Holy Spirit. Because we can go to the other extreme too and be giving, 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 and people are just taking, and they're not growing then because they're not learning any lessons in life that God wants them to learn. Okay? We need to know the Holy Spirit, and we have to let him guide us what we're to do and what we're not to do. But always with love. Whether we give or we withhold, it's only because God's leading us because we love him. I'm just going to end us with this a little bit of a word the Lord gave me when he was speaking to me about this week. Listen to this. Only those with a true heart to serve for love of us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, only those with a true heart to serve for love of us. Why do we have to do it? Because we love him. And we love Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why we serve people. Not so we can get something back from them. Okay? Not to make ourselves feel good, but because we love them. Only those with a true heart to serve for love of us will receive my power in this hour. How many of us want his power? I want his power. He says, this is my litmus test right now. If you have a true heart to serve people because you love me, because you love the Father, if you have a true heart to serve, I'm going to pour my power down on you. Not if you have an education in Christianity. These are not the tests you have to pass. Is this. True servant heart, because you love me. I see the heart, and I know the true intent, and I will not be tricked or conned by any. We can con God. Huh? Yeah. I am looking for those with the true heart of a servant to pour my glory forth on and through. So he's looking. Where can I find a servant? Who has a servant's heart? Who loves? Who loves, huh? Who loves me enough to love their neighbor, to love their enemy, to let me use them to help their enemy? Who loves me that much? That's the one I'm going to put my power on. Power for what? Healing, miracles, answered prayers, power to do good. I will always show you the better way and lead you to the best way of living for love of us. So this is what he said. There's two. There's a better way and there's the best way. The better way is to serve. The best way is to serve all for love of us, wholeheartedly and with no regrets or complaints. So the best way is to serve all, everyone, without exception. The ones that are good to us, the ones that reject us, the ones that don't invite us, the ones that don't want us around. You see? Serve everybody. How? For love of God. Because I love you, God, I'll do it. Wholeheartedly. Without grumbling or complaining. Here, Jack, here's your stupid cup of coffee. You see, I gave him the coffee, but did I do it wholeheartedly out of love for God? No reward. No fruit comes forth from that. It's the truth, though. Sometimes maybe we don't say it, but maybe we feel it. God says, I read your heart. I read your heart. Sometimes it's easier to show love for people that we're not living with, that we're not around all the time, because they're not irritating us. But maybe it's a little harder to show love for those that we're in close communion with, we have history with. Oh, okay? The better way is to serve, but the best way is to serve all for love of us wholeheartedly and with no regrets or complaints. No what? Regrets. Why did I give him that? I shouldn't have. Look at the way he scowled at me. And no complaints. That's a big one. Moaning, groaning, complaining. I was reading a wonderful prophetic word and whatnot on the Elijah list. And This gentleman said that they had gone on a fast for 30 days of their tongue. They went on a fast of no murmuring, no complaining, no saying negative things in their mind and in their tongue. And after a month, many miracles began to happen as they prayed. After a month of doing that, incredible miracles broke out. So I'm thinking, why don't we do that? Huh? Why don't we do that? For 30 days, today's April 7th, until May 7th, oh! Let, as a body, as brothers and sisters, guard our minds, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we're going to need your help to do this. Keep our thoughts positive about ourselves, about our life, huh? Keep our thoughts positive about everything else around us. And guard my mouth, Holy Spirit. Don't let any negative thing come out of my mouth. Oh, he always does that. Or this always happens to me. No, only positive. I will be fine. There will be a good report when we go to the doctor. Huh? What do you want? What do you want? You get what you speak. There's power of life and death in the tongue. What do you want? How about for a month? Now, the first few days, there's going to be some conviction. And we're going to realize how much negative we're thinking and how much negative we're speaking. But after a little bit, we'll start getting it. Okay, so don't get discouraged and say, oh, I can't do this. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can think good thoughts about myself and about others. I can speak good things about my life and about others. My kids will serve the Lord, as Joshua said. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So we get somebody really difficult in our life. Let's find the good in them. Think on those things that are good and pure and lovely in others. Find the good in them and focus on it. Oh God, that person is such a good servant. They don't even know you, and look at how they're serving. I'm going to pray for them to know you and to grow in that gift. You see? Find the good in them and build on that. Pray through that area of strength. Focus on those good things and not on the negative. When God prompts you to show love, do it wholeheartedly. Huh? Without regret, without grumbling or complaining. Do you see? Because we can do it, but guess what? We'll get no reward for it. We can do the thing and grumble and complain about it, and we just lost our reward. I don't want to lose my rewards. I want to go to heaven and get a whole bunch. And it depends on this thing right here, this mouth of mine and this mind of mine, what it's going to come from. All of the good things we do, if we grumble and complain about it and are regretful for it, we get no reward. We're still doing it. We've got to use our head. Do it with a good attitude. Do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Now, Jack wants a cup of coffee. Jesus wants a cup of coffee. Here's your stupid cup of coffee, Jesus. Or, here's your cup of coffee, Jack, Jesus. So happy I can serve you. You're still doing the same thing, but with a different heart and a different attitude. Okay? As a man thinks, so is he. So he goes. We're going to change this thinking. No more stinking thinking. A month. A month, all right? We're going to do this. And then we're going to keep it up after that month. But this month is going to be like boot camp. Boot camp for our mind and our tongue. Thinking good things and doing good things. Huh? Doing those kind deeds God's asking us to do. Doing them because we love them, serving people, having a servant heart, having a humble heart. And you know, one of the biggest ways that we can serve people and we really get nothing for it is praying for people, intercession. And God honors that. God, somebody went to heaven once and they saw this woman in heaven greatly honored. And they were surprised because this woman just was a little old lady that sat way in the back of church and just prayed for everybody. Nothing else. She didn't do anything else. She just prayed for everybody. And in heaven, she had the greatest reward. Because it takes selflessness to pray for people. You're not getting anything back for that. You pray for people, they don't even know you're praying for them. They don't even know. So what a great reward when we pray. It's a very selfless activity. Let's all stand. We are going to...